It's 30 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And Mario's just stepping back and adjusting his camera.
Yeah, I just learned that I need a tripod, but Darren told me that tripod would not be preferable for that height. But, you know, if you can go on a Facebook page, Business Insights with Mario and Darren, you can see that what's happening live in the studio. However, if you can go come tonight later on our website, alive905.com.au, and you can hear the podcast with our guest. So, Darren, we have today somebody very young in our studio, somebody who has a great story to share with us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a true privilege to introduce you, the youth of Australia. Somebody who has a story to share with us. It's an unusual story, and as Marcy, I'm really admiring somebody who didn't say no to the life. Instead, they say yes and push it forward. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest in the studio, Joy Wiebe. Welcome, Joy.
Welcome, mate. It's an absolute privilege to be here. Seriously, Mario and Darren, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, you know, the privilege is all ours. So, Joy, what's the true name? I know I call it Joy, but it's not Joy.
Look, if we go back to when I was a kid, it was actually Zuzu. A nickname is called Zuzu.
Why Zuzu?
Yeah, it's like a Lebanese nickname, okay. Zuzu. And, you know, my real name is Joseph Habib Wiebe. So I got paid out a lot for my middle name growing up in the Australian world. You know, Joey Habib, one of my mates, you know. Yeah.
Habib, isn't Habib something like something cute, something
yeah,
nice?
Yeah, it's a gesture of love, like Habibi, yeah. You know, yeah, love.
So you're going to share that some love with us later on. Okay. some food, I don't know, we're hungry, you're on a diet, but today we can afford some food extra.
Absolutely.
So Joey, for our listeners, you know, we never have somebody with your experience, to be honest with you, and nobody with your age in the studio. We always have the people with the gray hair like myself, not like a Darren, he still have the natural color of the hair. For our listeners, who is Joy Habibi?
Well, look, I don't like to put myself on a pedestal, Mario, as you know, like we're friends outside of here, and Darren, you know, it's I grew up in Western Sydney, my parents got divorced at a very young age, mm-hmm. and I moved a lot. You know, I moved a lot, so I was always trying to adapt to consistent to new environments, to new groups of people. And I guess with that moving, it shaped who I was, my personality and my curiosity. It got me really curious. And I thought to myself, in my later years, I thought, okay, let's try to utilize this in a business sense. Mm-hmm. So I then evolved this person who I was from a kid being, you know, from a divorced family, parents, and a curious mind adapting to different environments, continually moving, you know, probably about, I'd say, seven times, you know, roughly, into the business world with my father. So when I left school, and, you know, I guess there's a lot behind my early 20s that I discovered in a sense with resilience. You know, I was in the construction industry for a long time. And
let me ask you something. When you talk about resilience, you know, we talk about resilience, somebody who is very young, and you say resilience, you know, I mean, most of people they don't discover. Darren and I are witnessing this every day on every our show because our guests share the story with us. And the word resilience, it's been used and abused and over abused. But what is it for you, in your words, resilience for the young man?
Yeah, I know what you're saying because.
Do you?
Yeah, because. Okay. I do because words do get overused today, like the word entrepreneur, you know, it's one of those things. But in my eyes, resilience is the ability to get back up after failing. And I for one, and anyone that knows me personally would know how many times I've failed in side hustles. Creating side hustles while still maintaining bread and butter, you know, and I believe that the more you fail, the more you keep getting up and moving forward, the greater resilience you develop around life in general and moving forward in relation to what you want to accomplish and starting new journeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us more about that. You finished your high school and then you join your father to do what?
Yeah. So I wanted to be a rugby league player. Okay. You know, when I left school, my younger brother was an amazing rugby league player at the time. And I looked up to him in sports, even though he was 4 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was always taller than me, so kind of had to look up to him, you know.
That's a good metaphorical way to look at things. Yeah,
Jace was phenomenal at rugby league. He played for Parramatta Eels and, you know, he captained the Toyota Cup squad. And I kind of wanted to do that as well, being the older brother. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to lead the way in the family. But, you know, you leave school and if things aren't working, which they weren't at that point, I hadn't made representative yeah. football at that point. You had to pick a job kind of thing. And I chose to work with my father. I said, how good's this? I'll have days off. You know, it's a family business when I want, you know. I'm thinking to myself.
Now, what do you think about this one? You know, like whether kids work with the parents. You think the kids expecting to be,
well, I think it'd be the opposite.
Had the more lenience?
Yeah, no. I think the idea of a day off with the family is foreign to me.
Ah, okay. So, like, you know, I truly believe that, you know, when you work with the family, you know, I mean, children with the family, like father or mother, they're going to expect sort of that leniency, you know what I mean? I can take a days off. So how did those days work for you, Joy?
Well, I'll tell you what, if there was ever a big slap to the face in reality, that mm-hmm. was it. You know, experiencing family business, my dad was a sole trader mm-hmm. and he worked for himself and he had a couple of boys working with him.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, because dad always, you know, always looked after us. He always gave us what we yeah. wanted, always was there for us when we yeah. needed something. And I could say we were semi-spoiled. You know, in our teenage years, I would say, so to speak, we were semi-spoiled. We never felt what hardship would actually feel like until the curtains peel back. You know, hello, it's a now it's a theater behind the scenes.
Okay, so that was a moment when you decided to work with your father.
Yeah, decided to become an apprentice electrician.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're spark, yeah.
Yeah, by trade. Yeah, and have been for, you know, through my 20s and, mm-hmm. and not too long ago. I still do a bit of electrical when people ask me to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... It was one of those things that, you know, Mario, anyone that has out there that has the privilege of, you know, experiencing family business, you'll understand that, you know, it's quite a slap to the face when you realize that it's a full-time commitment, you know, even outside the hours of work. And the level of respect that I grew, that I had for my dad, it took a while because I was still developing my personality and my maturity mm-hmm. in my early 20s. I believe that the age for maturity is about 25 for males, most instances.
Mine was a 45.
I think I'm still getting it. But yeah.
Darren, yeah. I can't say that either.
Yeah. But as a thought, Joe, working with a family and say you come in, you got an idea and it might be different than, yeah. say, your father's
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
How did you manage that or did you? How do you challenge that respect by also saying, well, I think this will take us further?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, like one of the things that I did early on in my career when I became a tradesman mm-hmm. in my mid-20s was I studied at a place in the city and I spent quite a lot of money at that place. And it taught me to innovate, to create systems, to network, to look at the future and see what's your industry going to be like in the future, adapt that now. And then all this new innovative entrepreneurial brain, right, was in me after I'd studied. And then combine that with my dad old school mentality, it was a clash, I'll tell you. It was a clash.
I've seen that looking at a business quite like yours and seeing that kind of push-pull between let's do it new and this is going to save us time with, oh, that's all risky, let's do it the old school way because that's what I know works.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's a battering ram. It's seriously, there was a lot of collision early on. Nonetheless, we always ended up great mates. My dad and I developed this friendship that is unspoken. You can't measure it. You know, it's like you're in the trenches every day, and no matter what, you know, you got each other's back because dad was always there for us growing up, and he's a well-respected man for that. And I love him to death. You know, so it was one of those things that you clash, and then you sort of go, all right, well, this is not working, so let's try something else. And so I ended up running jobs on my own with his guidance when I needed him. You know, and I sort of felt like I was given the reins. As long as we were paying the bills and as long as we were, you know, making sure our commitments were met, I was given free rein to run jobs on my own. And that's where I sort of started implementing my own systems and trialing and erroring.
So that was the start of flying the nest, so to say.
Absolutely. With guidance, with my dad always there because he's, you know, he had always 30 years plus in the industry of experience. And
must be very, very... encouraging to know that a bit of the safety net was there with your dad, who we're hearing loved you so much, to work together in that sort of way. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and it's one of the things that I highly recommend to people. You know, why try and reinvent the wheel when you can learn off of someone who's already done it and better it? So I say to people these days, I go, why do you want to try and build a building from scratch if you have someone in your network already that you can trust and rely on that has the building. Let's dust it up a little bit and redecorate it to suit today's generation. As I ask the question, if that's available to you, harness it. If not, well, you got to build the building from scratch.
Wow. That is very compelling. You know, I mean, like I just, you know, I'm watching, you know, Joy is our youngest guest in studio, and so much wisdom and the strength and energy comes out. I apologize. And the same equally, you know, the experience, life experience brought into this interview. I'm truly privileged, you know, to share this with you, you know, with all our listeners. So thank you, Joy. We'll take a short break. Darren.
Thank you.
You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario. We'll take a short break. I'll come back after this more with Joy. Stop looking at my notes in a minute. I'll work that way. Live90.5.com.au website. Come tonight after 6 p.m. Interview is going to be ready for you to listen to this awesome young entrepreneur.
It's 28 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Thank you, Darren, very much. And I'd like to say thank you to all listeners at live90.5.com.au website. After tonight, tonight after 6 or 7 p.m., please join us on the website. You can hear this podcast entirely, this interview, thanks to Darren Capps Davis. And before I continue grilling our guest in the studio and using my powers, you know, I mean, to confess some things, as always mentioned this in every episode of the Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Darren and myself are really privileged and really lucky to interview true unsung business heroes. For one simple reason, life is full of the surprises, good or bad, obstacles we hit, and you know, we change our behavior or more than the COVID crisis. It's actually amplified these things, but you can't get the better advice from nobody than the people we bring in the studio for one simple reason. They live this life, they're still living this life, and they're still going through the life, and they learn it from the life, and they're sharing their experiences with us. Something what you can't learn through the podcast of the many, many people there, you know, online, who are sharing their views with a much, much more glamorous guest in the studio. And this is the beauty of everything it is, Joy. You know, Darren and myself, you know, it's like as much as I enjoy this radio, I'm still like always grateful to this man, Darren, because, you know, I'm talking, I'm preparing the questions and, you know, some things, but life doesn't function only one man, you know. I mean, this show will not be show if Darren doesn't look after the buttons and music and breaks and the emails and online. Same goes with you, you know, and I like to say particularly thank you to Harry and Diane, your parents, you know what I mean, for, you know, pushing you into this life, because you know your story is truly truly unique. And as I said, like, you know, instead of talking about myself or Darren about his stories, you know, I mean, you say something very important. So you started working with your daddy in you know, as a sparky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was that experience for you waking up in the morning, I don't know, 5 o'clock, you know, as you say, like semi-privileged life, because yeah, most of the kids they still I believe they're living some sort of semi-privileged life, you know what I mean? And how did you transition yourself from being little spoiled guy, yeah, as you say, you know? Mm. So the career in the footy was off.
Mm.
Okay, that was one hit. Darren, you know, Darren's going to go on Tour de France next year. I'm just letting you know now. So I'm preparing him, you know what I mean? But then you transition yourself from the sport to be the sparky, you know what I mean? From something glamorous to less flashy.
Yeah.
How did you felt, you know, I mean?
Yeah. Look, if I bring myself back there, it was agonizing.
Please.
Yeah, it was really agonizing, man.
Why is that? Can you expand on this? Why?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're taught in schools, you know, these days and this day and age, institutional schools of routine. And it's a different world out there. It truly is, you know, from school days. I remember school was comforting. You had mates, you had fun, you had structure, you had, you know, teachers to rely on, you had systems, you had all this stuff. And then coming into a family business that doesn't have a lot of this,
yeah,
you know, especially a sole trader, a small family business, was a huge shock and a huge wake-up call. What I was feeling, I guess, was it was a battle waking up in the morning, because I wasn't used to getting up that time. It took me at least 6 months to adapt to it and say that this is easy. You know, now I'm used to it. I had Lebanese coffee with my dad every morning too. I looked forward to that. That was an inspiration. So I started naturally looking for inspiration, I guess, and ways to get up, because, man, I don't know anyone that wouldn't pick a career in rugby league over being a tradesman. You know, not many people out there would agree that, you know, a tradesman is the hotshot life. And I feel for all tradies because I've lived that life for over 10 years now, you know, because it is a tough life. And getting used to that as a child who was, or a young adult that was, you know.
How old you were when you started doing this? Well,
19.
Wow.
Yeah, so I, actually 18, forgive me, I correct that, 18. Straight away pretty much after I left school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period about 3 or 4 months where I decided to do building. You know, because I'm Lebanese, I thought, I know heaps of builders. You know, oh yeah, that'll be the trade for me. Yeah. I'll make heaps of money.
Yes.
You know, my cousins are all builders. Yeah. My uncles are all builders and everyone I know was in the building game. So big shout out to the Lebanese community in the building game. The good ones that pay on time.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So you say you'll be agonized, you know, waking up. You know, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for your honesty. Needless to say that every time when we interview somebody, particularly, you know, the Unstuck Business Heroes itself, you know, the honesty, it is a crucial moment because it's hard to say, you know, I mean, I was agonized or I have the problems in my life because, you know, everybody loves to talk about sweet things, you know, I mean, look at me, I'm successful, I'm a millionaire, whatever, you know, I mean, just name it, you know, I mean, everybody loves to talk about what is now, but nobody loves to talk like how was before. And even I, Darren, you know, like, you know, I'm listening to some podcasters, you know, I mean, from US, that's powerful names, you know, I mean, I wake up in the morning, wake up and roll. It's all the blahs, blahs, you know what I mean? It's hard to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, trust me, you know what I mean? Like, and Darren, you're waking up in your life as well. So it's difficult when you're working, but you need to start making money for yourself or for family. And when did you stop work with your dad and why?
Yeah, so we did this journey for quite a long time, Mario, and you know, I love that what you just said there about it's all the blah blah and the facade, and I was privileged to interview you not long ago and find out a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you.
You know, I guess I stopped working with Dad in the business roughly around 2 years ago. I decided to, you know, I've done enough of this trade, I've explored enough, I think I've reached the pinnacle of where it probably can be for me. You know, I didn't want to take it to that 40 staff level.
May I ask you, what prompted you to stop doing this, what you're doing?
Look, I think pain. I did succeed to a certain level. There was a level of certain success, of comfortability we reached, and the business was systemized, and, you know, we had a good lifestyle. We were on the, I'll just take you to a typical day in the life.
Yeah.
We were there on site at 6:30 a.m., first car spot, work like a bat out of hell, out the gates, quick lunch with the boys, you know, 5-10 minutes, let's get going, guys. So we missed the traffic. So every single day we were out of the gates from the job site by 2:30. You know, so we would miss traffic no matter where we are in Sydney. Home by 3:30, 4 o'clock, depending where we are. And then weekends we wouldn't work, you know. So it was a good lifestyle. And every 6 weeks I would make sure I got into a routine that I would take a 4-day holiday on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just somewhere local every 6 weeks. Yeah, so the business was looking after our bills.
Yeah.
It was turning over good money. You know, we were earning decent money, but you know, there was one pain that I suffered, and a lot of tradies can relate to this, especially now in COVID. And that pain was cash flow. Yeah, cash flow. Cash flow hurt us.
Mm.
You know, and not to say that we never had enough money to pay our bills and suppliers, which we were very good at, but you know, the balance sheet was always so juicy. It looked so great. We always. Yeah, the balance sheet, our forecast for the next 3 to 6 months always looked great, but getting the money in was the problem. Getting it in.
Chasing money from the clients.
Chasing the money from
the
builders.
And that builders. Was your biggest reason why you said, I can't do this anymore.
It was one of those things that frustrated and, you know, it was months and months and months and months of this, you know, like I was talking, when I took over the finances in, you know, when I was about 25, you know, this was a series of 3.5 years, 4 years of seeing this.
Yeah.
And it was just getting to me, and I thought, man, stuff this. Like, I work so hard, we work so hard, and the numbers are always there, but it's never in our account, you know. So there were ways that we tried to manage that professionally, and I guess there was other blockages that may or may not have caused that as well. But nonetheless, I decided, you know what, it's time to try something else. It's time.
We stay on that one.
Yeah,
we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
So take a deep breath. You have your cup of tea. I know you have a cup of tea. I know who offered you a cup of tea. Hey, Darren, you want to share something with me? Because I saw something on your Facebook. I heard some familiar voice in some animation. Well, can you tell me more about this one?
Perhaps I could, maybe after the break.
After the break, stay tuned with us. Say online, 90.5.com.au, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We'll take a short break. And our guest, you want that story. You really want that story. Stay tuned. You'll be glad you did it.
It's 18 minutes to 1, live 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
I'd like to say thank you to all listeners online, 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. If you'd like to join to us, and I'm encouraging you to jump on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and you can watch us directly in the studio. I'd like to say thank you to all listeners in Australia, overseas, and other planets, and other, you know, galaxies. And I'd like to say thank you to Darren and Caps Davis, which I want to ask you now, voice. On your Facebook page, and I'm inviting everybody, come search for Darren Caps Davis on the Facebook, become his friend. Darren, he's to share something with us.
First up, it's my daughter's project. So she's doing animation at UTS. She's in her second year and really thoroughly enjoying it, even though they're locked away at home most of the time. But I think they're going in for a few classes or it's holidays already. I'm not quite sure. They never catch up with university life. Always seems to be different than when we're in university. But she had a project and she needed a voice for this witchy character that she was creating. And I thought, yeah, I'll do that because actually, as I might have shared briefly, one of my side hustles, we talk about side hustles, is voiceover. So I thought, yes, I'll do that. It's a great chance to do a character voice. And yeah, there we go. So we did that.
Well, congratulations to the Darren's daughter and the Darren because that was beautiful. I saw on Facebook and I was like, I expected your voice because that's what you posted. And I said, I'm going to ask, alive, in studio. So it was sounds good. But as well, Darren, he can borrow you his voice. Am I correct?
Yes, correct. Any sort of voice. The one thing I'm learning about voiceover and is the business I'm learning is that actually, if you say you're in radio, it's kind of like, no, we don't want the broadcast voice. Not the broadcast voice. But yeah, it's just a natural voice or those sorts of things, and actually make sure that you don't just read, because reading never comes across. It comes across as reading. So you've got to be active and authentic. But enough about that, and more back to hearing from our guest.
Okay, Darren,
I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, I'm running Death Star, so please leave me. Congratulations to Darren and his daughter for the joint project. And it's beautiful to see how the father and daughter work together on the same project, plus Darren, he can rent his voice to you. Now back to our guest in the studio. Did you have a good breather now, Joy?
Mate, I'm just inspired watching you because one day I aspire with my daughter to do something like that, mate. Thank you for doing
it's
that,
good
leading
fun
the way.
Your family. I mean, you know that.
It is, yeah. Maybe not father to son from my perspective, but definitely from me to my daughter in the near future, yeah.
Well, as I said, you have a role model here, Darren, it's like even he's a quiet boy, and as Darren can talk, trust me, privately, and that's like he's a great mentor, even to myself. But back to you now, you left a Sparky, your dad, and you said the reason was, you're working hard, guys, the profit balance sheet looks awesome, many businesses going through the same ordeal, and bills are not paid, but chunk of the money looks good on the paper, but not in reality on account. So what was your next step? You told us in the break that you are changing a few aspects of the life and careers. Can you guide us through that process?
Absolutely. So it was a lead-up process. My wife and I discovered that there was a future in, let's say, another industry unknown at this point. Mm-hmm. 6 months roughly, we started talking about, hey, I want to change up my career. I want to change up what I'm doing. I'm not happy. I'm drinking a couple of glasses of red wine every couple of nights and, I'm putting on a little bit of weight and it seems as though life is okay. We're stable, thankfully, and I'm gracious for that in this country, but there's something more, something yearning because and I believe on the side note that there is greatness in us, in all of us, and I think that was what's speaking to me particularly, just it's like that little voice going, hey, you, there's more. Or something, it was just this little ringing fly or something. And so we spoke about it for a while and I decided to get a life coach, paid a lot of money for a life coach, from a well-known brand in the world. Mm-hmm. And I went to, as paying for that life coach, I got a free VIP ticket to this massive seminar, and it was a great experience. And from that weekend, I had the courage, and I can attribute it as a catalyst to have the courage to decide, that's it, I'm ready. I'm ready to go, next step.
Yeah? Okay.
So next step, I'm ready to take this next part of my life. And that part, and that, at that point, I decided, leading up to that sort of time, it was singing and acting and performing, you know, because I'd always been so sort of a joker and a people person.
Can I ask you something? You said something very interesting now. If you can describe for our listeners and a few viewers who are now on a Facebook page live, you say that you were having a couple glasses of the red wine, you know, from time to time in the week, and then you felt that it's a time to change. Can you describe to me what did you felt and how did you felt that's a time for change? Did you have like an epiphany or did you saw in a... Like I see Darren in dreams, you know what I mean? Come in the studio, we're eating, you know what I mean, jars of Nutella. Darren, I can't feed him in Nutella because he's refusing to eat sweets.
Yeah.
Can you describe, I'm very curious, I'm truly curious for all our listeners, you know what I mean? Can you just explain how did you felt, what did you felt emotionally, physically, psychologically, that it's time to change?
Again,
thank you very much. That was a joy, baby.
What I felt.
So
I
for listeners, you mentioned that it was time for the change and that you've gone through the, some type of emotions inside of you. So can you describe for our listeners?
Yeah.
How did you felt?
Yeah.
What did you felt?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So there was blockage in the brain. I felt, because I was drinking red wine, and I'm not going to say I was an alcoholic per se, but, you know, I was really clogged up in the brain a little bit, and I didn't feel a level of clarity that I felt like I deserved. You know, in the brain. And I'd seen a lot of people that had health and wealth. And I was taught growing up that you can't have both. Yeah, this was really deep, really, really deep. I was taught you can't have both. It's either one or the other, you know. And I won't tell you the teacher because I respect him thoroughly. But, you know, it's either one or the other. You can't have both. But I saw people that had both and I wanted that. But a part of me during this journey of sort of the end rut of my electrical sort of career, drinking wine and getting to a certain level of fulfillment, I felt compelled to explore and discover something else continually. So it was frustrating again. I'll go back to frustrating because you're in the rut of like a mouse on a wheel. You've got routine, you know, you got to wake up the next morning, put your alarm on, and it's the same stuff over and over again, and you're in this grind. And I can completely relate to everyone out there. The majority of the population are in this grind, right? And I guess frustration was the key emotion that I felt.
Frustration.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned a couple of keywords. You were in agony, you know what I mean, when you start changing, you know what I mean, from the... You know, the comfortable life to waking up 5 o'clock in the morning with your father to do the work, now the agony. So what was your next step? You said you have the business coach. Oh, sorry, life coach? Life coach. And, you know, you got that VIP ticket for the seminar.
Yeah.
And what changed then?
So the next step was to gain clarity, to really identify where I was heading, to create an action plan, like a 6-month plan, a 12-month plan, a 5-year plan, a 3-year plan going back a little bit, and then a 10-year plan. So to have a vision, create a vision, because I knew that I wanted to leap off the cliff and away from the electrical industry, but I didn't exactly know which pond to fall into just yet. I had a feeling as though it was acting and singing, but I wasn't convinced because, you know, in this country, it's very hard to get a career going in this sort of industry. If you want to make it, you got to go to Los Angeles or Canada or, you know, the UK or somewhere where it's actually really, really taking off and you can actually get in the vibe of it all.
Yeah. And what was your first job? Singing and dancing? Or
My first job was to create my own little studio and start making my own songs.
Yeah.
And applying for student films. I went right down the bottom of the ladder. Yeah. Back to a bit of extra work. Applying for a little bit of extras work and applying for free unpaid student films to get some experience and to build my showreel. And this was me with a 1-year-old daughter at this point, taking this leap of, you know, faith. And you know, it was hard. It was really hard to live in this sort of moment where I was a young family. We had a limited amount of savings and I felt, you know, it was scary, very scary. But I thought, it's now or never. There's never a right time. I've got to take this leap of faith now. Otherwise, it just felt right at that point in time to take that leap, you know, if that makes sense.
It does make a sense. What do you think, Darren?
Quite similar to what I'm looking in voiceover. So I'm listening intently and just and seeing what the next point is.
You see, but that's what I say, like, and I want to say to all listeners, Darren his courage admiring, and I mean, I don't say him enough this, but that's like, you know, you don't know Darren as I know that Darren quite okay, quite well, but Darren, he make it the judgment in his life to leave the full-time job and start doing what he loves most, and that's what is his technology, voice, and everything else. And now comparing, you know, the Joy story and your story, the age is not important. You know what I mean? It's attitude and desire, you know what I mean, and support. We'll take a very short break before we go for the news. You're listening live on 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren. Darren's going to guide us through the break, and we come back very shortly with more questions to our guest, Joy Vibi.
It's 3 minutes to one, live 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren.
I'd like to say thank you to all our listeners on this lovely radio show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario. I'd like to say thank you to all our guests previously. I'd like to say thank you to all sponsors of this great radio station. And I'd like to say thank you to our guests today being with us in the studio. We don't have much time before we go for the break because it's news 1 o'clock. And there is plenty of people like to hear that Donald Trump won these elections. Okay, so someone's in the studio. But before we take the break, I want to ask you something. Somebody told you that health and wealth don't go together. Mm. It's not possible.
Mm.
How did you felt and how did you react to that one?
Confused, man. Confused and limited. Confused and limited. And I can see this in a lot of people today, that their blueprint for their life, you know, their mentality is similar. You can't have everything. You can't have it all because it's what you've been taught. And it's okay because I went along that same path too, but I had to restructure the way I thought because I saw glimpses and light in other people living a prosperous life in the media specifically. I hadn't met someone in person that I could vouch for that up until that point, but I saw people in the media that seemed as though at first point of contact, hey, they got it all. Like, I want that life, you know?
Interesting, Joy. Well, I don't know how you feel about this one, but as I said, like, you know, like, your journey itself.
Definitely, I mean, health supports wealth in my mind in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Healthy mind, healthy body, you can do anything. And I know for me, if I have a sleeping day, then by the time you have your coffee and whatever, it's kind of like you're out of time. But if you get up a bit early, even if I take an hour out for a ride and back at 7, and then I've got like an hour's work done before 9 o'clock. So that extra time is actually beneficial to anything you want to do in life, including your business.
Early bird gets the worm, huh?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, it's almost 1 o'clock, and as much as I love talking to Darren and our guest in studio, Joy Vibi, we must take a short break. It's 1 o'clock, it's a news done, right? And then we come back in 5-6 minutes.
That's right, and we'll do weather and traffic and paint your weather very nice, Mario, and you'll be happy, I'm quite sure.
Thank you to all listeners. Stay tuned. You'll be glad you did it to listen in the best business radio talk show, the Business Insights with Mari and Darren on our line 90.5. We'll be back shortly after the news. Greatest business radio talk show, Business Insights with Mari and Darren. I need to say something. Like, I'm pushing Darren to commit the fraud to do photoshopping on a weather to put more sun. But you know, like, Darren, thank you very much. Tuesday, it's good enough. You know, Tuesday, I mean, so we have a couple days off.
I think that's good for you. That's when you're out on the east side, isn't it?
Yes, in the Bondi, like, you know, killing myself for 3 hours with a Maida. You know what I mean? But you know, the good thing is.
But hang on, I just see photos of the beach. How's that killing yourself?
The fun enough it is, my coach doesn't let me to take so many videos because, you know, like, I look like a Tyson, like a weapon, you know what I mean? Like, or something. I don't know what it is, but looks like I'm, you know what I mean, not in privy to post many videos from the training, except when the mind that allows me. But let's go come back to our guest in the studio, for which we are truly privileged to have him and sharing his story. For now, listeners, Joey, how old are you right now?
32, Mario.
32?
Yeah.
Can you say again?
32. Sorry, mate. Yeah.
You sure?
Got the microphone up near me now.
You look a little older than 32.
Do I really? Okay. Yeah, I got one gray hair growing on my chin.
No, that's a good one. Don't worry. That's how it starts with one. Suddenly you become the bald.
And I got a thought there. When I turned 30, it was nothing. But apparently, when I turned 31, that was kind of like, oh, I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
And what is it? Did you have something similar?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I do relate to you, Darren. It's always like, oh, I better get my things in order because I'm going to reach 40. I'm going to reach 40.
See, what you done that? What do you mean?
Well, that's right. You reach 40 and you become something like us.
You become like Mario. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Not much behind you.
But
you know
what it is, Darren? I went for the medical maybe 2 months ago, something like this, for my boxing. I mean, and but prior to this, I received a letter from my GP, which, you know, I ignored it for so long. You know, I mean, what he wants, you know, please come in surgery. You know, I mean, this and that. It's like, wow, I don't feel pain. I don't feel nothing. I said, oh, why he wants to see me? Anyway, come in my blue book and said, listen, I need to stamp me for the upcoming fight. He says to me, by the way, when you're here, you know, you're 48 years old, Mario. So like, thank you for reminding me. I say, yes, I am. I understand. I'm 48. So what? He says to me to do some, you know, different checks now. So like, what does that mean? Anyway, it was unpleasant exam.
Pokes and prods?
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it was like very unpleasant. But after the entire exam and giving the blood, he says to me, let's go now grab the weight and the height. I said, like, I'm 179. You know, I mean, there's no question asking. I mean, like, you know what? I shrink a centimeter and a half. I was like,
shrinking?
Yeah. And I said, like, to him, I said, are you sure? He says to me, Mario, you're 48 years old. You know, it's an age and everything else. I said, like, I almost cried, Darren. Seriously. This is the very first time. I said, like, how old I am? He says to me, don't worry, Mario. You know, I mean, everything's okay with the, you know, with the results and everything else. I said, like, what do you mean I shrink centimeter and a half? You know, I mean, that was like, doesn't happen my waist, but it's my height. You know, it's scary. You know, not scary, but it's a reality check. But still, it doesn't stop me to live the life.
But,
like,
but what it says to me is that you learn, you go through life, and you find out others' expectations of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes, Mario, you're getting old. Yes, Darren, you're getting old. Yes, Joey, you'll be there one day.
Yes.
And these things happen.
It is, but you see, that's an attitude. This is what I'm admiring about you, because most of people live in that shell of that security. One thing, you know, like, people love to talk about security, and, you know, you both know my life story. It's quite boring, but I said, like, you know, one thing what I learned, there is no security in life. There is no security. And people love to talk about security to prevent the risk of the living the life, right? And most of people, they choose this that path, you know, I mean, the living in a box, you know, I mean, everybody must work, no question asked. We all need to work to make the money for the family, for the life and everything else. However, sometimes in life, you take a risk. That's why I'm admiring Darren, because, you know, I mean, I can say in our age, he takes the risk, you know, I mean, to change your career, which is not very advisable if you ask somebody who told you health and wealth doesn't go together. So how risky is life? I'll tell you how risky it is. Nobody comes alive from him. We're all going to die one day, one day or another. That's how risky life it is. So it's willing to try, because life sooner or later is going to give you the bill for those not trials. And there's regrets. And I remember my dad, you know, I mean, he was a big blah, blah, blah. He was a good worker, right? He was very, you know, in the field, he was working. But when he was dying, I said to myself, none of his idea was gone in reality. Somebody else making money. And that's the way I heard that expression, that the richest place in the world is not a bank, is not the vault or the Fort Knox. No, it's nothing. It's not even close by. It's a cemetery. There's a lot of people there with the great ideas never going to come out, you know what I mean? And they could create it, not just the world, but leave the earth better place.
Yeah.
But enough about Dr. Mario Beckes, you know what I mean, philosophy. So that's what it is. Before we took the break, we talked about health and wealth. And there was a moment in our interview a little bit earlier, young family, 1 year old daughter, and you changed your career with a little savings, you know what I mean? And it was the scariest moment for you. What was the scariest feeling inside of you, that emotional side?
Anxiety, man. For people out there that felt anxiety, I felt more anxiety in that year, you know, in the last, over the last 28 years of my life, you know, just feeling these butterflies just shaking and what if my brain's trying to tell me, you know, like, what if you can't provide for your family? Like, you've just got a 1 year old daughter now. You know, like, my brain, my fear, the fear. And that's what I believe happens to a lot of us. You know, we let our brains dictate our actions because we're programmed to be driven by fear, and that's what our brains are primal. They're old. I don't know how long how old they are, Darren. Do you believe they're over a million years old, or you know, whatever? However old they are, they're programmed to prevent us from dying, getting hit by a bus.
See, that's the courage I've seen in you. I've seen the courage just right on you.
I was going to say being eaten by a bear.
Yeah.
Is that expression or?
No, just thinking primal, why our brains are triggered for fear, but it's for protection, yourself.
Yeah.
Look, the world is full of the quotes, you know what I mean? They're all fancy, beautiful ones, you know what I mean? Julius Caesar wrote a meditation in one go before just to die because he realized time is up, you know what I mean? So they put all the quotes, you know what I mean? All the thinking, all the, you know, brain, you know what I mean? Insurgency in his head and a life experience in two books, excuse me. But then he died. He couldn't, you know, apply, couldn't share just with his book. But it's a courage to do this. So on that path with young family, being scary, anxious, can you tell us, was there people who told you, stop doing this, go back to do electrical work, being the sparky?
Yeah.
Or somebody told you, like, this is not for you, who you think you are? And there's people who support you this. Can you share with us? If you want to say the names, that's okay. If you don't want to say names, that's not.
Yeah, look, I never badmouth anyone, but look, almost everyone.
That's my job. So, like, you know, just.
Yeah, look, Mario, almost everyone in my community was telling me that you're crazy. You know, you're nuts. Go back to stability. You've got a young family. What's wrong with you? You know, and that was even more frustrating. Hearing that from people, knowing that there's this seed in me that wanted to blossom, you know, and I can relate to a lot of people out there that I can see. When I meet someone, I can see straight through that they have potential or not in something, yet they're limited by fear and their immediate community. And it's so common, such a common thing, because we're all programmed to be stable and to live a stable life and comfortable life. But there was one particular person that I will mention, a big shout out to this one beautiful individual, and that's my wife, you know, and you know, she backed me no matter what, and she always has, and I love her for that tremendously, and I always owe her. No matter what I've chosen in my life, regardless of the roller coaster I've taken our family on, she's always said, as long as you're happy, you know, if you're happy, I support you no matter what. And a big shout out to her.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. Similar for me. My wife.
I tell you, but you see, I tell you something. There was a famous psychologist or psychoanalyst, Friedrich Nietzsche, and a part of his being sleeping with his sister and all these things, you know what I mean? Like he was having the great philosophy of becoming a superhuman. And a superhuman doesn't mean necessarily that you're like a Superman, you can see X-rays, which I wanted, you know, me being invisible or being the Thor. But a superhuman, it's based on a thinking, you know, reality in your brain. So he compared metaphorically and using the allegory using the three axes. One is a camel, one is a monkey, one is a child. So I don't want to go through all this one, but the camel it is, you know, as a camel, is very obedient. He can go long distance, you know what I mean, with the water, endurance and everything else. And that's a primary step, you know what I mean, in success in life overall. Friedrich Nietzsche explained this, why become superhuman? Because when you come to stage of child, it's mean that, you know, you're enjoying your life and in every, you know, I mean, being happy and everything else. But if you ignore the fact that you need to be prepared to go to long run in life, you know what I mean, and being endured, then you need to listen. Camel is a very obedient animal, no question asked. He explained this very well in his books, and you know, that's what reminds me. So your wife helped you, but majority was told you not to do so. And how did you behave?
Well, because I was, you know, I believe I wasn't controlled all my life, but I felt like I didn't have the freedom to explore early on because of fear. You know, a fear-driven community, it's not uncommon. You know, people just try to protect your family, your parents, your cousins, your relatives. They will just try to protect you to the best of their knowledge, and I praise them and respect them for the love that they've shown for that. But what it did was limit, you know, this curiosity that was in me. So I decided later in life to explore that once I had the confidence to start putting, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and now I know that 2 is 2, You know, I can understand that now, and I'm safe to say that, you know, I'm going to try this myself without having to rely on someone else's advice. But man, I just want to go back to everyone in currently in COVID specifically, because we all are feeling a lot of fear. You know, we're feeling like we're uncertain. I just want to put it out there that like I already experienced a whole level of anxiety that most people have experienced in COVID prior to COVID hitting. So I was already trained, you know, in uncertainty, knowing that where my next dollar was going to come in from, going the whole year prior to COVID starting, not knowing and exploring these opportunities. I'm already trained for that. I'm already felt that level of uncertainty.
I have a question for you, darling. You know, I'm not educated in this system. You know, I don't know nothing about education in Australia. Nothing, you know. I mean, even doing my highest degree in academics you can get, you know what I mean? But I never go into primary school, high school here, and I just want to compare something. When you go into school, darling, because you're close to my age and still younger, but have you been ever in school taught, you know, I mean, how to live the life? It's going to be anxiety, it's going to be uncertainty, or was sort of like my one when I was born, you know, I was raised in communism, and everything was being sort of predestined for you. That's the word, predestination. You know what I mean, like, you know, I'm born in a workers' family, and I knew that I couldn't go very high. And I mean, I can be the work in a factory. That was my limit. You know what I mean? High school. That's it. But we've never been told. You know what I mean? You can do better or something.
That's right. Answering the question,
please.
Most definitely, school system, at least for those of my age, it might be a bit different now. Yeah. We weren't taught how to live. We might have done a little budgeting thing of pretend you're going out and you have to rent and you might like buy a car one day.
Yeah.
But it was nothing about the reality of life, nothing at all. And actually, I actually saw some of my schoolmates drop out of uni. They were brilliant, but they just weren't ready for the real life. But also, I think like Joey says, they were lost. And they haven't really had that maturity to know what they want to do, what they want to achieve, because everything was, well, you just study hard and things will come to you.
Interesting.
But we all know the reality is different.
Mm.
So, Joey, you know, like obviously, you know, because you're 33 years old, 33, right?
Almost. Next year, 32.
Okay, apologies, 32. Sorry.
You don't know, make him too old.
I tried to push in Jesus years, you know, I mean, 33. I would just like to ask you, what would you give the advice? What your advice would be to everybody now, you know, coming from the high school, looking into your age right now and what you've gone through? And as I said, like, the every generation suffers something. When I was a kid, I have a Chernobyl, you know, I mean, nobody knows what Chernobyl it is. Mm. It was I always say it was a snowing in April around Easter. And I was like, you know, I mean, but it wasn't that, you know, what I mean, like a COVID, but, you know, COVID plus everything else you're going through, if you go into school tomorrow, somebody calls you to do the public speaking, what would you give the tip to the, I don't know, HSC students, I think, or whatever, year 12?
That's a massive responsibility, Mario, and it's something that I'm proud to sort of take on my shoulders for the next generation of Australians.
Don't worry, it's only 2 million people listen to you now.
You know, look, it's and it's something I'm working with a charity event coming up, you know, online event for them. And look, it's what I would try to do, and it wouldn't be something simple. It would be to try and teach the younger generation how to trust someone, like who to trust for advice. Because if I was taught at an early age to trust the right people, meaning people that have actually succeeded rather than people that presumably succeeded, because you get so much bad advice growing up, bad advice from people that, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know,
interesting.
How to teach them how to filter the right authentic people, to look, to become kind of like an intelligence officer, where you actually go deep into someone's life, analyze their life. Oh, is that advice they're giving valid? Is it valid?
Does it match what you see?
Does it match what you see?
Yeah.
Is this person telling you, right, to go dress up, wear a suit, right, drive a Ferrari, are they actually authentic people? Are they real, honest individuals?
Well, let me tell you, I love Darren, eh? I love Darren. I think the Darren, I'm going to interview Darren one day alongside with you, because I'm pretty sure, you know, you guys, you can answer more of these things, because the trust is a key thing. You know, I mean, trust information. We take the face value more than, you know, I mean, the reality to check on somebody. What did you use the word authenticity?
Authenticity.
No, authenticity.
Authentic human beings. Yeah. It's hard to discern this these days.
Oh, you should see Darren. You're like, that's I love it about you,
well,
guys.
I'm seeking time for a break.
Time for a break.
Authentic break.
Authentic break.
With some authentic music. Actually, yeah, we've got the Supremes. You keep me hanging on. Coming up. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Murray and Darren, and we'll be back shortly. Past 1:26, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Murray and Darren.
And there's no shortage of sleeping in this studio for sure, because it's very active with our guest in the studio, Joy Vivi. Very, 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 you know, Joy, you just show the humility through the entire show. And this is what I like about people, to share their knowledge. And you're not ashamed, and you don't regret to show your weaknesses, and particularly to show that you've done mistakes in your life, and, you know, I mean, that how you felt and your emotion, you know, I mean, your other side, which most of us are hiding.
Yeah.
Now, this is the same like when I go to check my diabetes, you know, the doctor says to me, did you eat something sweet? And I did not, you know, I mean, my mouth is like covered with Nutella, you know, I mean, like, lies. But, you know, so you change your career, and you finally found yourself into something. What is that?
Look, I used to, thanks Mario for that beautiful compliment of humility. I think it's important moving forward that all of us act with humility to learn as much as we can, because that's why we're here, right? Now I used to install lights and power into people's homes physically. Now I shine the light on people through public relations, you know, through the eyes of their current social media engagement and the media, through a very good friend of mine. So, you know, it's an absolute privilege to be listening to people's stories and then trying to get those stories out there for more people to connect with that.
How did you say this? Well, I was physically installing the lights in people's homes and offices. Now I'm doing through the work. You know what? This sounds very well. And I mean, this sounds so good. Right, Darren?
It does sound good. Just once more for the tape.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us again, what were we doing before? What are you doing now?
So I was physically installing lights and power in people's homes. And now I metaphorically shine light and give power to people in their brands and businesses, in what they do in the world, so through public relations.
So do you believe that all roads you've done before, this your destination right now, was worth it taking? You know, acting classes, you know what I mean, putting the young family under duress, you know what I mean, and being anxious and, you know what I mean, all this under stress, duress to become that one, you know what I mean, who can actually now take it to his old man, you know what I mean? Like in some normal circumstances, pre-COVID, you know what I mean? Everybody said like, you're too young, you don't know nothing, you have no experience. But actually COVID amplified the people to become the better, or they become them, you know what I mean? Before the COVID, Darren will agree with me, maybe, maybe not, but before the COVID, you could walk the line in the middle, not to be good, not to be bad. And you always could hide yourself between, you know what I mean, left or right. In COVID, there's no, you know what I mean? Or you walking left, you walking right. You know, you good, or you are successful, or you are, you know what I mean, somebody who just talks, you know what I mean? No authenticity in them, as you said.
Yeah.
So tell for our listeners, was all that sacrifice you done in past was worth it?
If I was to go back to my old self prior to taking this leap and give myself a piece of advice, I'd pat myself on the back and say, it's all going to be okay. Everything you're going to is a piece of the jigsaw puzzle relevant to the bigger picture. Every single step, every single hardship, every single challenge, every single step that you're taking, good or bad, is relevant to the big picture. And I'll pat myself on the back, say it's going to be okay no matter what, because everything happens for a reason in my head.
Really? So that's interesting. You say happen in a head. So we just spoke before, you know, I mean, we just have so many points I want to ask you, but I have not enough time. But you said something that is important, how you feel in your head. Can you elaborate a little bit more about this, how you feel in your head?
Yeah.
Because you explain your emotions, you know, like when you started a career in dancing, in the sort of singing, you try to create your studios. So before that, how successful you are in the dancing and singing? How was that career going
yeah,
for
look,
you?
It was short. It was short lived.
You didn't know Larry Kebs Davis.
It was short lived, though I'm still available for acting gigs, you know, and singing. I love to sing, but I'm not looking to make money from it. You know, it's a beautiful passion of mine. And I guess if you put money as a forefront obligation or a forefront pressure situation, you know, to your passion, you can't perform at your best. So I do that in the shower. Sorry to reveal that live, but
as many of us,
I think it's a wonderful thing to do.
You know, can you imagine how many people sing that in the morning shower? I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people.
Yeah,
maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe some. You know, as the age progressing, you're less singing.
Might be.
Might be, you know what I mean? That's what it is. So.
It might be.
Well, the acoustics are so great in the shower, you know? You know, the olden days, that's where they used to record prior to studios, you know? They used to record in bathrooms, you know, because the acoustics, they bounce off the tiles really well.
Well, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Darren, do not try.
The thing I've been reading, everyone likes to do in their closet. You just hide between all the coats and shirts and everything, and they're good as well.
So. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, the opposite as well.
Most definitely.
That's for skinny people like you on a joy. I can't fit in. I must lie down.
Talk about humility.
So tell us, share with us, what was the books maybe change your life?
Yeah. Well, look, there wasn't one particular book, I would say, but I love books, don't get me wrong, but I'm not particularly, I don't rely on books because they are great.
Why is that?
But because they are great conversations with people, but you can learn so much just by being in the presence of someone and having a conversation like we are now. Mm. And that's why, you know, someone like yourself, Mario, whom I've learned a lot of in the short space of time, and even in Darren, in this short space of time, I've learned just by paying attention to the way you are, your mannerisms, your energy, you know, feeling something beyond what there is in visible sight. You know, I feel like you can learn a lot more by that, and that's the type of person. And again, not stating that I don't like books, but I'm more of a people in person type of person.
Who wants to read a book? It's too long for me.
Are you telling me you will not read my book? I just finished it now. It's only 200 pages.
It takes me like 10 minutes to read a paragraph in a book, you know.
You know what? You know,
so it'll take me probably a year to read your book.
I'll tell you the story. I was a third grade in high school, and in literacy, like, you know, I don't know how it's in Australia, but, you know, we need to read like 12 books, you know what I mean, into the school a year, right? And then you need to make an essay about something, right?
Torture for me.
Yeah, I know. Like, and I never wanted to read, and you know? But I was in military school. I was on naval military school. And it would be, everything's been, you know, strictly controlled. You know what I mean? I have a good buddy of mine. I said to him, Robert, his name was Robert Ljubicic. And I said to him, Robert, I'm stuck with that book. You know what I mean? Like 600 pages. You know what I mean? Like, he says to me, listen, just read the introduction and just on the last page, you know what I mean, what the other writer says. I said, really? He says to me, that's a half an hour. Just write about this. And
well, you do what I did. For HSC, I listened to my books.
You were listening to your books?
Yes.
Good one.
So tapes in a little Sony Walkman, head back on the bed, and more often than not I fell asleep. So it got to the exams and it was kind of like
your modus operandi is much more quality. Of course I failed. The next tip I got, he said, put a book under the head while sleeping. Anyway, on the true story, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario. We'll take a short break and come back with a few more questions before we end up today episode of the Business Insights with Mario and Darren on the line 90.5. Thank you everybody for listening us. We'll take a short break.
It's 21 minutes to 2, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
I'll take it to all listeners on Alive 90.5. Thank you to Darren Kevs Davis for making this, and thank you, Joy, for, you know, your mobile is working. I think it's beeping. It's like, no, it's mine, I'm sorry. Yes, so to all listeners on the Alive 90.5, thank you for supporting this great radio station. To all our sponsors, without you, this radio station would not have this great equipment and will not be alive. Now, come back to the joy. We have not much time, maybe 10 minutes of the show before another group of the great radio presenters and hosts coming after us. So, Joy, we spoke about books. So, like you said, like, okay, books are great, everything else, but you're learning more by observing people. What do you mean by that, observing other people or being in their presence?
Absolutely. So, just we have two ears, you know, and one mouth for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, I've been told a lot over the last few years to listen – more than you speak, you know, especially when you're young. Especially just listen to people's stories, because there is gold in everyone that has lived on this earth for a long time, like yourself, listening to your story.
What do you mean, like myself, like living long enough?
Like dinosaurs, like dinosaurs, you know, because your driver's license was on stone, right?
Yes. Well, it's like, what are you laughing, Dario? I was like, no, I'm now on a senior concession card, you know what I mean? Opal concession card. So like,
good discounts, eh? Good
discounts. So, yeah, please.
Look, I was always the type of person in parties at even 16, from 16 onwards. If I found an older person in the room or the party, I would sit and listen to them. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I always found gold and just listening to someone of age and experience, listening to their stories and understanding life from their point of view, because there's such wisdom. For example, my grandmother's. You know, one of my grandmothers in particular, just sitting and listening to her. Listening to her life when she was young, what she's been through, you know, and what's shaped her personality and why. She's just, you're being curious and listening to people of experience.
Okay. That's an interesting,
yeah.
Look, you're the big hustler, I must say. Like, you're everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, I can see you're everywhere with many people. And as you say, like, you try to shine their light in everybody's home to pass the message. Who is your biggest mentor? Can you name it anything? Was any event maybe mentoring you? Like, it doesn't have to be a person, but what is?
Absolutely. There are a multitude of mentors that I have, you being inclusive of one in that network as well, Mario. You know, you can learn a whole bunch of a lot of people, but the real strength is in understanding who you take advice off for particular things. And at the end of the day, making sure that it's you following your intuition, you know, your emotions, as Darren and I were talking in the break, about following your emotions as guides to your enlightenment or happiness in your life. If you're feeling anxiety, well, then it's there to warn you and alarm you. If you're feeling happy, well, then obviously you're in the right place, the right time.
Interesting enough, I have a good friend of mine who I can't interview now at the moment, because actually he's going to be very shortly in Sydney from Melbourne. His name is Vaku Tao, and he's a Taoist and Taoist, you know what I mean? He's a, you know, that ancient Chinese philosophy. And he told me something very similar a long time ago when I was struggling. He told me, you have emotions, you know what I mean? You have the logic, you have emotions, which is your heart. He said, like, but then your referee, which is your intuition. Because if you're just using one, you're going to, you know, make a mess, which clearly I did in my life. Trust me, it was not pleasant. So if you go back in the time now, you know what I mean, there's any moment in your life when you hit some obstacle you wanted to say, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. There was multiple times, almost once every week when I was in construction, there was times I wanted to give up, throw in the towel, and I wanted to go get a new job or, you know, work for a company and have an easier life. There was many times. I couldn't count on my, I've lost track of how many times I've wanted to give up, but I kept going forward. And that's the thing, that's what builds resilience, as we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, particularly I'd like to shed light on a little bit more humility, where I was clinically diagnosed by a psychiatrist, but with ADHD and bipolar for a number of years too. And she advised me to take some medicine for a couple of years when I was about 26. And I did that. I followed that advice. I trusted the health professionals, but I found that there was a greater person in me to uncover. So I prepped myself up for a couple of months before giving up on this medicine. And I said, that's enough. I'm not taking medicine anymore. And I regulated my own emotions after that, shortly after, by a lot of different types of techniques that I've learned, and also by continuing to do certain practice and rituals that I perform daily, you know, and also continue to thrive off of great people such as yourself and Darren, you know.
Thank you very much. But, you know, like, I'm pretty sure the most sweetest girl she called in the studio live, her name is Mila.
Yeah.
So, hello, lovely Mila, it's your daughter.
Yeah, hi, beautiful woman. Hi, beautiful daughter. She had to do a FaceTime quickly.
Look, we're going to close the show very soon. But before we close that show, now, do you agree that people judge other people very much by according to appearances?
Absolutely, Marian. One of the key elements, one of the things that is creating this judgment quickly is, I believe, social media. You know, social media.
Can you share with us? Can you explain a little bit more of this?
Absolutely. So we've become a flick judge society. I call it.
Yeah.
Flick, flick, judge, flick, judge, flick, judge. You instantly judge someone's life in a moment of their time. And it's subconscious. It's something that we're not aware of a lot of times, right? However, it's a pattern. It's a habit, as we're creatures of habit. Every one of us is a creature of habit. Our habits dictate our patterns and who we become inevitably. And because we're on social media all the time, we're flicking through with our thumb, our right thumb or our left thumb. We're looking through someone's life. We're double tapping the screen. We're writing a comment, but we're only seeing a moment. One set, not even, I can't even define it. You know, just a millisecond, an absolute millisecond of a moment in someone's life. And we've got this thing in us that judges in that moment, and we've become familiar with that pattern. So I urge everyone out there to be aware of that and understand that there is more to someone's life in that moment, you know, and to go beyond what social media has to offer in that particular moment and go back to creating authentic, honest, and real conversations as we are now here in person. Yeah, and I'm not saying don't do social media, because it does serve a great purpose for brand awareness and news and notifying people about what's happening. But you know, if we're just aware of what it's doing to us, and we can stop in that moment and not judge someone and take a moment to appreciate that there's more going on behind the scenes of that millisecond that we're looking at someone's life in most instances, whether a photo or video. You know,
can you like? You know, I'm just gonna ask on my behalf. Maybe Darren can support me this one. Do you believe that social media actually distorted true reality of everybody's life? That's a big competition there. How much we're gonna be like about others?
Look, it's definitely caused a disruption in the way we are behave as human beings. I can see that. I've seen it in myself. You know, there's scientific evidence to suggest that there's endorphins released with all the loves and the taps and the likes and the comments, and they know all this. The people that have created this, they know all this, right? And we know this, but unfortunately, we're creatures of habit. We continue to do the things that we're trained or we're continue to do every day. So, has it disrupted us as a human race? Yes, absolutely. But does it mean that we blame it? No, because we have ultimate control. We are in control of our lives at all times, and we have the decision, power of decision within us every single step of our life.
So just thinking on that idea of social media, and for many it's kind of like you're saying it's a poor thing. Can you actually look at a different way to say, yeah, so me personally or me as a business, stuff what it is, let's take it the opportunity that people do judge quickly and make sure that we're branding ourselves for that moment of judgment. What do you think? Is it
absolutely
an opportunity?
Absolutely. It is an absolutely amazing opportunity to broadcast a moment of your business and catch people's eyes and give value in that moment. That's how I see social media, to be able to give value and service people that are watching. That's what I do in social media in particular. I try to give people confidence. Just give confidence. Try and teach them how I've gotten confidence, the confidence to talk to anyone in the world.
Can I just pop in for the second day, right? And now
you can come in the conversation.
Listen, a few years ago, I met few people, like, you know what I mean? And it, I need to stop saying this, you know what I mean? I just need to control. Few years ago, I met few people on some networking event, and they were gurus, you know, as a pre-COVID thing. Everybody knew that about sales and marketing online, and they were telling me all these sort of stories. However, last year, Darren, I went for the workshop, and I was told just to find some celebrity, take a pictures with that celebrity, you know, you're instantly going to be recognized. And I said, like, but I don't know that celebrity. Like, if I put that on Richard Branson, look at it. Did you hear lately, Darren, something of Richard Branson? Nobody heard from him. But pre-COVID was a great stuff. You know, take a picture with him. Schwarzenegger, you know, all these guys. And I said, but that's a distorted. If I say that I was sitting, you know, next to the Joey Vibe or Darren Cabs, there is multimillionaires, billionaires, just to take a picture, just to gain that credibility in society. Mm. It's not me. Because somebody can ask me, so did you have a coffee with Darren? We'll just take the photo. So it's a lot of tips and advice on social media, and a lot of gurus are there who are misleading people by saying social media, it's a point, you know, we need to sell yourself because you're going to be judged better. And I do agree with you, what you said before, and what Darren says. Majority of society lives for the likes. Yeah.
On social media, absolutely. The younger generation in particular. We should be aware of this.
Younger generations are dependent on. I don't have doubt that the younger generation should spend more time on a technology, because after all, like 20 years time, what society's going to look like? There'll not be pen and paper. I'm pretty sure there's going to be like a museum.
The stats state it itself. Mario and Darren, you know, the suicide rates are climbing through the roof. Mental health rates are climbing through the roof. We've got to do something as a community, as the leaders of this community, you know, to help the younger generation with more self-awareness, okay, that they don't need it, but it becomes as an extra service to their business or their brand or their identity, but it's not necessary. You know, it's not necessary.
You're such a young man with so much experience and so humble, so kind. So before we wrap it up, Darren's going to wrap it up this one. Do you want to say somebody thank you?
I'd like a big, massive shout out to, you know, this community radio station, 90.5, and all the sponsors involved. This is an amazing opportunity to interact with you guys. And a massive thank you to you, Darren, orchestrating your disc jockey movements behind the scenes, and Mario.
You don't want to see how I do this. That is why Darren's just doing this, like, okay, calm down. Yes, please continue.
Yeah, no, look, and a big thank you to those out there that are willing to take the next step in their life.
Amen.
Yes.
Emme, you want to say somebody?
Oh, yeah, Emme. Yeah, Emme. Yeah, big shout out to my stepmother. Emme. We didn't realize, I didn't include her in the parenting role. Wendy Weeby, big shout out to you as well for raising me and everyone else in my community. Bless you all, honestly. Thank you very much for this opportunity, guys.
Thank you for being our guest. Darren, guide us out.
You've been listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Alive 90.5, your sound, your community. Now, up next, usually the pass, I have a little birdie tell me that they're having a sabbatical for the weekend, maybe enjoying this last dry day before it gets a bit cloudy again. But George Automation will be with you, and we'll be back with you next week.
Yeah, next week with
Midday Friday.
Midday Friday. Joe Isaac is going to share with us.
Dr. Joe Isaac.
Yeah, you're going to.
You must listen. Midday, next Friday. We'll be back with you on Alive 9.5.